Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone here. And thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at something very important and key in the early church that I believe today we are throwing away as a culture. Where are your writing materials? Where are your writing materials? Start by sharing with you a story, interesting story. And I used to have this friend. I believe he was the closest to me. I didn't have a lot of them, but I have a very good friend while I was in the U.S. And whenever he went to class, he took good notes. Had a pretty bad handwriting, but it was not that bad, but it was not good anyways. And I realized that in time he was reading, he would write, like maybe he has a handout. If he's studying, chemistry, he has a jotter, he writes chemistry. If he's typing out, if he's writing out, or he's trying to learn or study a definition of chemistry, he has to write it down. So eventually, everything that he has in his head, he writes it down again. So I'm like, whoa. It means that anytime he had to study, he had to have a jotter. When he reads a definition, he rewrites the definition down. And when he tries to remember the definition, he has to write it. Interesting. Are there any people like that here? You have to rewrite every single thing that you learned. If not, it looks like it didn't stick. Okay, someone's saying yes, please. Yeah, a lot. Okay. Kinesthetic learners, right? So they are used to writing. Once they want to preserve something in their memory, while the chew and pour have to hold the handbook and walk around while trying to chew, right? They will have to also sit down, read, and rewrite and continually write. So every time this fellow is writing, everything has to be rewritten. Right? It got to a time, sometimes influences are strong. I also started writing, but I was really amazed that his was quite over the roof. I mean, you have to write everything that you learn. That's going to be very difficult. Now, I believe that these sort of learners have a very important wisdom that's portrayed in their learning. And many times it's said that, you know, handwritten notes is a booster of memory. So when you write something, it helps you process something, it helps you process what you write, and it helps you remember information more deeply. And then, interestingly, God decides to use this method in his church today. So you also find out that many believe that writing notes, you know, activates the brain's retentive effect as well. And You know, some believe that if you review your written notes in 24 hours, right, it boosts your chance of remembrance or remembering whatever it is you study far more than notes that are not written by you. And I think I figured that to be true, because whenever I took notes that were my handwriting with more deepenings and emphasis, right, I sort of remembered. And that was how I knew I think I had a photogenic memory, because anytime I studied something, I could literally have the writing on my mind. I could see the writing on my mind. So I said, okay, if I see writings on my mind, some of you who are students is going to help you. Just maybe I could make it more colorful for emphasis on things that I don't have to forget. So I started having a marker, just a little bit of emphasis here and there. And it will amaze you that anytime I needed to remember, I had the picture on my mind's eye. And then I see that, okay, this is color blue. Then I can tell you word for word where every word was written. So there are different kinds of learners. And more importantly, I want us to start appreciating what it means to write as a learner. And, you know, God in his written word obviously communicates this same principle. God chose to reveal himself through the written word. And the Bible is often called God's written word because its message were definitely written by human authors inspired by the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Spirit. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, God is still instilling Habakkuk the prophet, write the revelation, write the vision down. What I show you, O visioneer, keep it in your mind's eye and ensure that thou forgettest not. There's something about writing that helps you. Write it down. We see it as though ducklings are walking. He says, write it down. Make it plain. It should be clear that anybody that sees it will run in that vision. Anybody that spots it, anybody that sets their eyes on it, will understand that this person, if I don't write notes, this person will be able to give us notes. And sometimes they're very good. Their handwriting is very clear. You get to realize that you find other people who say people who are intelligent have very bad handwritings. I know those who have very bad handwriting say, yeah, that's true. That's true. Or more, you just have bad handwriting. But it's actually sometimes true, not all the times. But if you have intelligence, have it. But don't say that you have intelligence. So the reasons why you have bad handwriting is because you have intelligence. So how about we just say you have intelligence, but you don't have a good handwriting? Let's say that. Then you can humbly accept that. So you have intelligence, but you don't have good handwriting. But it's actually true. Some people say it's true. Right? So God chose to reveal himself through written words. I told you Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision down. Anybody who sees it or anybody who runs with it, right? Anybody that reads it will run with it. And that's very, very, very important. So for God to choose to reveal himself through written words tell you how important it is to write. Now, it is with writings that God's truth is preserved for all generations. Without writings, we would not have access to the teachings of Jesus. We would not have access to the teachings of the prophets. God himself. Yes, it was written by humans, but the inspiration and the source from which it came from was God himself. In Romans 15 verse 4, it tells us how that for everything that was written in time past was written to teach us. Romans 15 verse 4, everything that was written. I'm telling you, many people find it very difficult to accomplish their goals because they do not write. I wish I could show you my table, and I'm still even, you know, pushing to be a very good writer because I want to write everything that God tells me. And sometimes some of them skips me. And I'm like, no, you don't need to have an excuse why you don't write everything. Right? You see my table, there are things to do. Right now I can show you. I have what? Workers meeting upcoming. What I'm going to teach at workers meeting. I was sitting today. I had an inspiration on something concerning the pastor. I have written what I taught 5 p.m. Just three scriptures here. Let me show you an example. I have, there are lots of papers. I have number one, maybe call so-so-and-so. I have the person's name here. Ask if everything is fine. There are things that I am observing. And I want you to be aware. Then I write all those things down. I have them written. Call Ma so so and so. I think I have Asempa's name here. Call Asempa. Sunday morning instructions about ministry. Neglect not the gifts of the Spirit. Then I have things that I pray about. I have it here. Right? Lots of them. Then write on my, I have a lot. I can't even tell you how many they are. I can't even tell you. But it highlights how important it is to write. Listen, you're not smarter than God, and you will also not be smarter than the pen. So I'm just trying to help you how important it is to write. Our mothers also taught us that very importantly. When you're going to the market, they tell you to go and bring a pen and a paper. Then, onions, 5 cedis. Rice, 2 cedis. What? 10 cedis. This, that. And then you write everything. So you don't miss out on some very important details. And writing actually also helps us spread the gospel through handwritten scrolls, printed Bibles, and all of these things. So writing is not just a tool. It's sort of like a vessel to preserve anything that you want to be preserved as long as you want it to be preserved. Imagine God's words were written. I don't know if you understand that. It's a very serious thing. God's word, it was written. Tells us how important it is. Some of you go to class, you don't take notes. Say you are Shagbree. You don't take notes. How are you going to remember effectively? So, we are going to place premium. Listen, place premium on writing. If you're a good writer, everything that happens, you are going to be able to write it down. Yes, if you're a good writer. For example, if I'm teaching, you can write everything down, including the examples used. Of course, you will not be able to write all the examples. But when you are writing, then you say, example, pastor used. Maybe, example, the story of this. Maybe I used a boy who was called, Junjunju. You can just say, the story of Junjunju. When you pick it and you start to teach others also, you are going to know and communicate clearly what ought to be communicated to them. So a good writer is somebody who will be able to pass out information, and that information will stay from one generation to the other, one generation to the other. It can outlast as many generations as possible if they can pass it on. So, helping you see how important it is to write, it is furthermore important for you to understand why you ought to write when you are in church. Let's swear a bit away from everything general and academic, and then let's come right to our setting. If that works for other things, remember, God himself uses this principle, and he is the one that actually gives us the wisdom to keep these things. So it means that he wants us to be writers as well. So, where are your writing materials? You know, don't just be excited coming to church. And don't also just be excited inviting someone to church. Where are the materials that help and aid them remember? You should go to your disciples' notes. Get to know what they are writing. Where are your writing materials? Where are your writing materials? We took a book from church one of the days to our beautiful amazement. It was an exercise book, and the person did not write nothing. Zero. So I'm wondering, who is this person that is not going to remember anything from church? Now, why? Because church is a school, is God's school. Remember, I taught you from the beginning why church. We gather so we can be taught God's word, right? So when we gather in church, we must begin to see church as a school where our faith is equipped. You are educated about God, his kingdom, how you fit in, and then the role that you play in it. Now, it's quite obvious that in every school, you take notes for further study and references. But you see, it's only in church that people think that it's useless to take, you know, comprehensive notes. Like, why are you telling us to write something? What's the essence? I went to someone's room and I was blown away. I'm not going to lie to you. I was blown away. I got into the room and I saw heaps upon heaps of exercise books. So I wondered, what's going on here? Heaps upon heaps of exercise books. So I was just curious. I said, okay, what's going on here? So I didn't ask, but I looked at the exercise books. And the person had labeled the exercise book with their pastor's teachings. So I was like, no, you have to be really kidding me. So I lifted one exercise book. Maybe if it was taught on white church, you see white church there. I lifted another exercise book, maybe the Holy Ghost. I lifted another exercise book, the Holy Ghost, then maybe wisdom. I lifted another exercise book, exposing idols. I lifted another. I said, what? I'm not exaggerating. I saw heaps upon heaps till, you know, the person even told me that her auntie was telling her that, hey, So why? All this writing. Is it just church? And she said, yes, it's just church. Now that is an example. That's an example. You don't need a very colored diary. I don't even write in a diary because sometimes I feel like a diary is whatever. You go and buy a diary, 90 CDs, 50 pages. I just buy exercise books. All my things are in exercise books. I write with exercise books. I flow with exercise books. I enjoy myself with exercise books. And I've done that for years. Just get me 4 CDs. I have my exercise book. And I write. Now, it does not mean you should also do that. Maybe you want to have a diary. That's good. But I'm just telling you that there should be no excuse for you not to write. Because I'm teaching you how important it is to write. So it's only in the church that you see that people come and then they are thinking that it's useless to have, you know, like comprehensive notes. What are they telling us to write? What's so special about writing? What's so important about it? And then, you know what? When you are not taught, you look at the people who are writing and say, hey, now I'm a chum, hey, now writing so, then cry. What's so special about it? No, but it is actually a sign that they have come to school. I'll never forget how sometimes they used to lash us for not bringing our, what do you call it? Maybe a rich people with master crack would lash. Maybe math notes. A math, then you don't bring the notes. Wait. But all of these things instill a culture. So the church is also that school. It's God's school. Let's look at Matthew 28. I'm going to go at this very quickly. And I'm hoping it's helping somebody. Matthew 28. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So, Jesus told his disciples to teach all that he has taught them. People of God, let's be honest with ourselves. Would you be able to teach everything that I taught you on Sunday expressly without writing? Let's be honest. Now, what that means is that you are going to be giving your disciple a watered-down version of what your pastor gave you via God's word. It's like it's going to be watered down. See, let me tell you something. When God gives a man agrees to do something, if the people are serious, they can walk in that grace and even more. So when you say, oh, my pastor teaches God's word very simply and wonderfully, I'm like, okay, that's good. I was telling someone I was working with a few days back, and I told the person, my pastor calls me and he says, Osofo, how are you able to teach these things so simply? And my pastor also is good at using English words. He says, the teachings are lucid. Somebody drop the meaning of lucid. I know you don't know. Learn it. Like I also had to go and search for it on Google because I also didn't know. Some of you will know, but not all of us know. So the teachings are lucid. Yeah. Expressed clearly, easy to understand. So how are you able to do it like that? I said, I really don't know, but I'm believe it just works. Now, you shouldn't have any ambiguity when you are taught. No, there's not any time where I intend to sound very honorable or to, you know, a certain literary style is intended, or maybe the way I write or the way I sound, I'm trying to sound intelligent. Because I know that when you try to sound intelligent, you take away the power of God that should make the people's hearts be changed in that simple message that you are preaching. So it's not about how complicated and how whatever difficult, you know, spread it all over the place. We can't even understand what is being said. So there is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So if you don't write, how are you going to remember? Disciples are not supposed to add or remove anything. Just copy and paste. How would they be able to do that according to his instructions if they hadn't kept a comprehensive record of his teachings? They couldn't have been able to obey his command if they didn't keep a good record of what he had taught them. And that is why you are supposed to come to church with a good notebook and your textbook, which is the Holy Bible. Your textbook. When you're going to, your whatever class, you're going for mathematics class, you carry your mathematics notebook, anatomy. Even if you don't carry it physically, you have a book that probably is a textbook on the phone or something that helps you flow in with whatever it is that's happening. But why is that when you're coming to church, they say Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, but you're saying that we should project it for you. And we should project it for you. You, what is your Bible doing? It just shows how unserious we are as students of Jesus. Is that the kind of uniform he has asked you to wear? Textbook, a Holy Bible. That's your textbook. And a good, pen to write. And those of you who invite people, add this too as caution as they make up their minds to come. Or make provisions for them as well. Do you understand? Make provisions for them as well. If the person is probably, if the person is weak, if the person is very weak or it's the first time the person has come, don't just go to the front and go and sit down there with them, except maybe you have been expressly told to sit in front. But we must be interspersed in the people so that we can keep an eye on our disciples. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you see, some of them, when you say, Zachariah, they don't open. They don't know where Zachariah is. You have to sit close to them and say, where's your Bible, Zachariah? You opened your Zachariah. You opened Zachariah for them. Say, look at it. That's a disciple. That's somebody who you are teaching to learn. So, except maybe you have been given an instruction to sit somewhere by myself, we have to find a way to get interspersed. Do you understand? Get interspersed. Interspersed amongst the people. It's not that we are sitting at the front and enjoying it, but the disciple we brought is just like, what's going on here? You open with them. You, while you are writing, you tend to look small to see, oh, did you write the scripture? Did you write the explanation? Did you write this? Did you write that? That's how the people are going to grow. So Jesus is telling us, you need to have this as well. And don't forget, you would need the same teachings to disciple your own converts. You would need the same teachings to disciple your own your disciples, or to teach the people that you bring in for church services. See something in Acts 19, verse 9 to 10. Acts 19. Acts 19. I'm going to show you a story of something that Paul did. Acts 19. Sit with them. Don't be afraid to sit with your disciples unless you are not a serious person yourself. Sit with them. It won't spoil anything. Sit with them. Unless you know maybe the person is also quite mature and the person has a zeal and the person follows, but sit with them. Yeah, sit with them. Don't give them chance. Make sure they are here and they are listening to whatever it is that is being taught. In Acts 19, I'm going to show you a story, quick story before we get out of here. So this Paul, actually, he preaches to a group of people. Then in that group are people who argue with him in his teachings. Then he decides to make a decision in verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitudes, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So this was what Paul did. He separated the people who were serious. Then he put them in a school called the school of Tyrannus, where he taught them God's word. Then he continued like that for 2 years. And what was the result? All who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. Do you think Paul was dancing with them, singing with them? My hands, my shoulders, my knees, they thought they all belong to Jesus. Is that how they would be able to take Asia? And how that the whole of Asia would have heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek? Quite an outstanding report. So he separates them into the school of Tyrannus. There's a school. The church is a school. And don't forget, even there were no keyboards, no drums. This is a school. No, what do you call it? Tambourines. He kept on reasoning. It means that what the writer was trying to help us see was that he was actually engaging their minds. He was reasoning with them. He kept on teaching them, opening their minds to the gospel of Jesus. And in 2 years, the whole city is taken by these disciples. I'm sure, very sure, they had book, pens, and Bibles in that place. Because if he taught them for 2 years, you don't think that everything that happens in 2 years would have, everything that happened in 2 years would have been just play. They just gather, what a mighty God we serve, Jehovah Jireh, what a mighty God. 2 years. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Say, hey, Timo, bring the drum. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. No, he was reasoning with them daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, that's what brings an effect of people being changed in the whole of Asia. So, we're going to take this thing pretty seriously. The disciples of Jesus learned from him. They taught Paul what they had learned. Paul in turn taught Timothy. And then Timothy is also instructed to teach others who will in turn teach their own converts. So you imagine Jesus hands over doctrinal persuasions or teachings to the apostles. The apostles teach Paul, or Paul has a revelation, but definitely on the foundations of the apostles. Paul hands over that same revelation to Timothy. Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit them thou to faithful men. So, Timothy, don't teach anything. Just pick the same thing from your notes. If you have good notes, you will never lack anything to teach your disciples. You will never lack anything to teach your disciples. Your notes are good now. When you pick it, it takes the order of whatever it is that was taught you. You just pick it the same way, you reread it again, and then you go and teach. Or you pick it again, you reread it again first for yourself to remind yourself of what you've been taught, and you go and teach the same thing. But when you don't have good notes, you can't teach whatever it is that is given to you. So Paul is telling Timothy, teach others. And these other people are known as faithful men. Those same things that you have been taught. What he's saying is that Timothy, keep a comprehensible note of whatever I've been taught. Make sure you keep the letters that I've written to you. The things that I said to you at your last points. When you met me, keep those things dear to your heart. In fact, Paul's last letter, one of the latest letters or the last letters Paul wrote was to Timothy. And he was in Rome by that time in prison. He was captured in prison and he still wrote to Timothy. Why didn't he voice record? I'm sure those days voice recording were not there. But he could have said, oh, you know what? Peter. Or maybe Mark. Of course, Mark was the one that came to him while he was in Rome. Mark, can you just tell Timothy that I said, he should take note of this. Take note of this. He should stay in Macedonia. He should make sure there's no other doctrine that is being taught. No, he writes to him. And the writings were very comprehensive. So they were to teach the exact things they were taught. Add nothing, remove nothing. This is the same instructions we are being given. So if you don't have comprehensive notes, how would you be able to remember all that was taught? Teach the same thing that was taught. So you're not permitted to come to church without your writing materials. You are coming to a school. You can't afford to lose what God is doing. You are coming to a school. Some say, school of the Spirit. Sometimes school of the Spirit, we are thinking that school of the Spirit. School of the Spirit. School of the Spirit is not only that. School of the Spirit too will be what the Spirit is teaching you in the meeting. Via your pastor. It's the Spirit now. So we can have a teaching meeting that's full of school of the Spirit. Because the teaching in itself is spiritual. You can't afford to lose the teachings through your pastor to you. Think clearly on what I've started with you. And ask yourself, where are my writing materials? Where are they? I have been trying to help us understand and to see the necessity of writing, right? So the necessity of writing. I believe that by the time we're done with these teachings, they should help us take heed of ourselves and also to encourage disciples to be given to taking good notes or writing good notes. We saw how that is communicating to Timothy and telling Timothy that he had to keep the words that were given to him. How that he should commit those words given to him to faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. So the goal is to have other people taught. The goal is to have other people taught. But, you know, in that goal, definitely is to have you being influenced first off. Right, so even though you have a goal to teach, this is you. Now, it's so important to know how that Aisha of his family via books. And so we must be given to writing a lot of material, to writing good notes, or to taking good notes. And that is how we are going to commit them to others also. It's a very effective method. Right? It's a very effective method. So it's important to know that you are not just receiving teachings. You are being committed with sound words for the next generation. It's a trust. You're going to be receiving sound words for the next generation. Those of you in level 100, be good stewards of the things that have been entrusted into your hands. So is it trust? Is it trust? So that you will be able to teach others also who come ahead of you. And of course, those of you definitely who are done with school, it's also a trust. So that you will be able to teach others who find themselves around you. So we're just not receiving teachings. We're receiving precious words for the next generation. For the people that come after us. For the people that we should teach. For the people that we should make sure they come to the understanding of the things that we have understood. So it's a trust. By the time we finish teaching you, and then we still now have to ask you, and then you didn't write good notes, neither do you remember what you have been taught. That's dangerous. You will not be able to pass the sound words that you have received over to others. So ensure that you are faithful with your pastor's words. Of course, taught you by God's word, or taught you from God's word. Those are things that are entrusted into your care. You know, many times you don't appreciate the things that you are taught until you get to really understand that your pastor still has to learn to understand to teach you. So it is labor. It's labor. And don't treat that labor lightly. Be a faithful steward, a faithful student of what has been committed to your trust. And the things that are committed to your trust definitely are the words that come to you. So before you realize somebody is saying something I never said, because the person will not take good notes. The person says it in a way I never said it, because they never took good notes. They were not faithful to what they had been entrusted with. But I believe you are going to be faithful. Right?
Amen.
Yes. So you're going to be faithful to the words that I've been giving you. And God definitely trusts you. So he positioned you in the church to receive, and not just to receive. You receive and you keep those precious words for people he will send to you as well. See what 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 to 14 says. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. You know, sometimes you find somebody and then you in school, you were getting a, what do you call it? You're not getting all A's. Then you come to church, then you don't write. You see, it doesn't really help. It doesn't really help. You're supposed to come and you sit down and you do yourself like you're a shark brain. You don't need to write anything. You remember everything. That's why sometimes the faith is not very productive. You're supposed to write. When you go back, you read. Oh, pastor said this. You flip back into, you look at it. You think on it. That's how the words are going to profit you. You write, you flip over, you look at it, you flip over, you look at it, you turn. You're going for a teaching meeting with your disciples in a hostel. 7 people, 8 people, 9 people, 10 people, 15, 20, 25, 50, 100, whatever the number is, you're preparing just so you can be a blessing to them. That is somebody who's going to be fruitful in the work that has been committed to them. So don't also just write notes and you just throw them away. That is what it means. You see, when you write notes and you throw them away, your words don't mean anything to me. God's word also does not mean anything to me. You're going to toilet, and last 5 week Sunday's notes is what you tear the middle page. You tear the middle page, and you sprinkle water on it, and you use that one for whatever it is you want to use it for. Second Timothy 1. Paul is telling Timothy, hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, he says, keep by. Don't throw it away. When you write it down, keep. And these were two guys, Phygellus and Hermogenes, which turned away from him. He mentions to Timothy, these are the ones that have run away from me and they've turned away from me. But you, O Timothy, hold fast. Hold it firmly. Hold fast. The things that you have heard of me, hold fast. Write well. Write well so that you'll be able to teach somebody else. Be good at it. So that you will be a trustworthy disciple. Hold fast that good thing which was committed to thee. So the teachings of your pastor
has been committed or is being committed to you as a trust, they are to be kept jealously. Be a steward of those precious words. Now, how can you even keep them when you don't have a record of them? How can you teach them and how can you apply them if you don't have a record of them? I was telling someone and I said that sometimes when I sit down, I look at the various gifts and I said that I believe the teaching gift is one of the special gifts. Yes, I believe that. Sometimes you don't know whether it's the healing power of God or the prophetic or the teaching. Yes. And these are precious words that are committed to you in a ministry. Yeah. Precious words committed to you in a ministry. But if you don't take good records, how are you going to be able to recall, treat them as such? See, some people, when they come to church, see that they have a, what do you call it? A paper. Paper. Just collect paper and borrow pen. They just write, they scribble. Some will even draw while the teaching is going on. While they are supposed to be writing, they are drawing. You see that at the end of the sermon, they have a drawing of maybe some cartoon figure or some Naruto or something. They've drawn the thing when they were supposed to be listening. Don't throw your notebooks away carelessly. Sometimes it means when I'm taking notes. So some of my notes, if you take my notes, you see that I write a big P and I circle it around and I write it again. I circle it around. It means that at that point in time, there's a prophetic word for me or there's a prophecy. So I write it down and it's highlighted. Edible. That I wrote the thing I had on one page. It was M-O-V-E. It was four letter words. Heard it clearly. I opened it and I wrote a big one on the page. But if you don't write, how are you going to remember? Some of you have had visions. And some of you should write them. You remember. Then you can't remember again. So, you're supposed to be a good steward. Yes, it's very important. The teachings you receive are precious. Get a good notebook. Keep it well. And many times, you know, how you treat your church notebook, it shows how much you value the teachings and instructions of your pastor. If you don't love it, you're just going to be trampling on it, stepping on it. Somebody because it doesn't mean so much to you. You just tear it and then you just give it to them. It doesn't mean so much to you. So hold fast. Are you listening? The sound words that have been taught to you, they are committed to you for your Christian growth, for the next generation, for the people that you're teaching, and the people who will teach others also.
Don't fail your disciples. Don't fail your disciples. And many times, the notes you're taking is how you will preserve truths for other disciples, for the next generation, for the people who are coming after you. Your notes will be relied upon by somebody to understand the scriptures better. Yeah. And that's how the word of God transitioned from one generation to the other. Imagine if Matthew decided not to write. Luke also decided not to write. Mark also decided not to write. John decides not to write. Theophilus decides not to write. Luke decides not to write Acts. Paul decides not to write the epistles. John decides not to write. Jude decides not to write. See, we'll have nothing. So be a good writer. Yes. If you don't take good notes, you are losing what you are learning for yourself and for the people you will teach. That's what happens. That's what happens. Take good notes. Our last scripture, Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in honor, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. So Luke had learned so well, and now he had something to use to write to Theophilus. So Luke is a good student. The things that he has experienced as eyewitnesses, he is writing them to most excellent Theophilus. Most excellent Theophilus, he was a guy, of course, he was a guy of high prestige. Most excellent. It's just like saying honorable. So he was a guy of quite some good reputation. And Luke is able to preserve what he had experienced, seen. And then he now writes it onto Theophilus. If he was a bad learner, he would have transferred garbage. Jesus died on the second day. He resurrected on the fourth day. You see that thing would have killed all of us. Imagine from Genesis, Malachi, they are all saying 3 days, 3 days. Matthew, 3 days. Mark, 3 days. Then Luke, you say 4 days. That's why when we are writing, notes, and some of you have 10 points, and others have 7 points.
See, it does not really help like that, though, because you're not really sure how many points we are dealing with. You have somebody has 6 points, the other has 10 points. You say, what are they writing? Crap, says 7, and I says 8. And then it becomes a pandemonium. If you were the one, if it were to be you, you were there, you were taking, you were now, what do you call it? Luke writing to most excellent Theophilus. Jesus died on the first day. Or second day, he resurrected on the fourth day. You would have made a Bible very, 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 very useless. Because, you know, they are supposed to flow, having a similar story. When they were canonized, they were believed to say the same thing. But maybe they didn't read it when they added you, Luke. And he was a physician. Yeah. Before you read Jesus resurrected, is that one of the most infallible books you can find? 40 different authors. Yes, 40 different authors. All of them, different cultures, spanning across different years, sometimes into several other centuries apart. And they are saying the same thing. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, 40 different people. They didn't know themselves. Some of them were farmers. Others were physicians. Others were religious lawmen. Others were men in governmental positions. And they all are saying the same thing, spanning of different years. And you now look, we say, add your book. Go say Jesus resurrected on the second day. He died on the fourth day. See that you put us in trouble. You say that the Bible is fall flat. That's what they'll say. So when you are writing your notes, write well. So that you will be able to pass over the things that you have learned to men in Theophilus' stead. So don't become a problem to the next generation. Now, it sounds very funny, but imagine if you took your Bible and Luke wrote that Jesus wrote on the fourth day. He rose on the fourth day. He rose on the fourth day. Our generation would have been very hot. Wrote on the fourth day. Rose on the fourth day. Our generation would have been hot. How would you explain? How would you explain? How would you explain? And then Peter also writes that maybe he rose on the second day, but he died just for 24 hours. He died, not 24 hours, he resurrected again. So you can see that simple information that should be passed over. If it's not taken care of, you see that it becomes a whole mess. So become a faithful steward of the things that are taught you. Teach it the same. Teach it the same. I told us yesterday how that our textbook for church is the Bible. So don't be happy going to church and then you say you don't pick a Bible, you don't pick a note, you don't write anything. You are just there, listening to what everybody else says. So, you're going to hold fast the sound words that I've been giving to you. Are you listening? Hold them, cherish them. Let them be dear to you. Let them be dear to you. Let them be dear to you. I was telling someone that me, myself, I go on to listen to the teachings. Yeah, me, man, I go on to listen to the teachings.
because I want them to bless me too. I want it to bless me. Oh yes, I want it to bless me. If it's blessing you, to bless me. So why are you not, what do you call it, writing good notes so that you can refer to them? You see me like that, I'm very thirsty for spiritual things. Yes, I remember one Sunday like that, I got into church. I think it was last week Sunday or last 2 weeks Sunday. Yeah, I felt like, I should be sitting down and writing while teaching. Yes. Yes, that's how I genuinely felt. I should be sitting down and writing while I didn't know how that was going to be possible, but I felt like these people are being so blessed. Let me sit down and write too. Yes. I'm a very hungry person when it comes to lots of things like this. Yeah. Recently, it occurred to me that it's been a while. I sat down and I said, no, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go somewhere, sit down. Yes, because I love that. I've always loved that. I've always loved sitting down to listen and to receive and to have experiences. I've always loved that place. Yes. Because there are words that proceed forth that bless me. Yeah. There are certain things I can't even tell you, but I go to places and I go and sit down there so that I'll also be a student. And I love it so much. I can't even tell you how much I love that. I love it so much. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you see me telling myself, no, it's time to be a student. And I pick my notebook and I pick my Bible and I also take that shape. Yeah. That's why a lot of people, or some men of God will say, when you're a man of God, you are dry. You're dry because nobody feeds you as well. Yes, that's why you're dry. If you had that understanding, you say, no. You are also supposed to sit down and also allow somebody to teach you. So you're dry because nobody teaches you. Me, I will not be dry because I have teachers. Yes, people who teach me. Yes. But you will not learn from anybody. And you want to always be teaching other people. I've used this before. A river that continually pours out but does not receive any inputs from other streams from other sea bodies. Very soon you're about to be a trickle. So be happy when you are writing and you're taking good notes. Be excited about it. Write well. Write the examples that are given to you. Write everything that is told you. But let me also add a caution to this. Right? Let me add a caution to this because we are both a spiritual people and a didactic form of study people. Because sometimes you'll be writing, sir, and you see that the atmosphere demands a catching. But if care is not taken, you will be so bent on writing. Right? So be sensitive. There are sometimes the atmosphere becomes an atmosphere that's conducive for catching. So those times are also times not to write. There are times where you should be actually looking at the minister. There are times where you should be looking right at him and speaking in tongues. So that whatever it is that proceeds forth, you can hop on it and catch it and let the spirit that are in the words enter you as the teachings are coming. Yeah, so that's the caution I want to give about the right. Because sometimes you can also be very particular about writing. And then there's something that you're supposed to be actually meditating on in the teaching while probably writing later, but you miss out on it. Yes. So as you make up your mind to write, make sure that when those times are stirred, right, your spirit is open, your heart is open to receive the words that are coming forth. So it's not just all about, yes, writing all through. Yeah, those times you will know. The Spirit of God will prompt it. This time, I should be more intuitive about what is being said. I should be praying in the Spirit. I should have my eyes fixed on the minister.
There are some things I did there. It was many years after I got to see the implication. Yes. Until I had probably somebody say, when you do this, it means this. I said, oh, I see. That means that this is what it meant. And this is how I got this happening for me. But I never knew. I just made sure I did what was right. And what I felt on my heart was right. And I got to realize that it really works. Yes. It really works. It's like listening to sermons. I've said it. Listen to sermons. Let it play around you. Sleep with it. Wake up with it. Yeah. It was quite recently I had a bishop say the same thing. Yeah. And I can't tell you what I've received by just having words playing in my room. Before you realize something is happening to you and something is changing. It happens as though it's not true, but it's actually true. I remember a time I had a sermon playing and I slept right into it. Yeah. And I found myself at a place. And while the sermon was playing, I could hear a voice speaking to me and saying, come forward. So I walked forward and he said, receive breath. Yes, and he blew air. And that was the first time I could see that. So when the breath of God's Spirit enters, when it enters, something happens. We're not talking about listening. We're talking about writing. So we're going to be faithful stewards of the words of our pastor in Jesus' name. We're going to be preparing ourselves to have this attitude. I told you when you come to church, as much as possible, encourage the people that you carry along to sit with you. They should sit with you. Sit in the people. Are you listening? Yeah, pastor says, write it. Uh-huh. Matthew 20. Have you written? Yes. Don't also get too confused that you are almost like receiving, and then you're going to learn how to write well, supervise your disciples, but make sure that is not an entire distraction. But make sure that something is happening. You're also getting to understand one or two things and how it's done. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verses 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision. In fact, this is Habakkuk and he is standing upon his watch. In verse 1, he speaks of how that he would stand upon his watch. When he stands upon his watch, he will watch to see what he will do unto me. He will watch, stands upon his watch, and he sets himself upon a tower. Then he watches to see what God is going to say unto him. That's a function, or that communicates, you know, intercession, or what we would call prayer. So Habakkuk is probably speaking to God about his life. And a very vital thing that he's doing is that he will stand upon his watch to see
what would be said unto him. And then the Lord's answer to him in what he should be watchful of. The Lord advises him and tells him that he should write. That's the instruction. So he's standing upon his watch. He sets his sight upon the tower. He's watching to see what God will say to him. And then the Lord responds to him, tells him, write. Write. See, I believe that visions are going to be achievable when they are written. There's just something about writing and accomplishing visions. Oh yes, something about writing and visions being accomplished. So everyone in this place, you're going to personalize this. I spoke about where are you writing materials yesterday, 2 days ago. But I think this is something that is going to help your individual life. So you're going to learn to write. Go to the supermarket, buy pens or a pen. Have some sticky notes. Get some small papers, some small notebooks that you can write the vision. What is the plan you have for discipleship? You see, the moment you write it down, it becomes very clear what you want to do in a day. You know, Paul called some people busybodies who have no duties or responsibilities, who go around poking their noses into people's affairs, and they don't work. They are lazy. But at least if you're able to structurally schedule what your time is going to look like in a day, it becomes productive. Right? It becomes productive. I have a well laid out structure of what my everyday should look like. I can tell you what time you're most going to find me inactive, what time you're going to find me awake, what time you're going to find me reading, what time you're going to find me meditating, what time you're going to find me praying, what time you're going to find me accomplishing what, when are my free periods, when are my free times. Those are most probably because I would have had a structure of whatever it is that I do. And it's well written down. If you take maybe one of my diaries, one of the things you're going to find in the first 2 or 3 pages is what my schedule looks like. It's to write. What is the vision? How do I want to accomplish that? Who am I supposed to be getting to by the close of the week? What am I supposed to be discussing with who? Because if you leave it to yourself and you just believe that it's going to happen miraculously, normally doesn't. And that is why it has to be written. I've told you what our agenda is for the year. That should already tell you we have a vision. told you that for this year, we have a target of 200 plus. Oh, yes. 200 plus. For service.
Mm-hmm.
70 strong.
Disciples.
A reason. Yeah. So that is first of having a vision. First of having a vision. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, Lord, there is more. Yet, we want to have this on our side. Yes. And you should know that it is a lot of work. Yes, it is a lot of work. And for every barrier we arrive at, there is more work to accomplish and to fulfill. Yes. When you get to 100 people in a church, the next barrier is 200. Then the next barrier is 500. Then 700, then 1,000. It's a shock you that there are many places who don't sit the numbers we are mentioning. Yes. It's true. Oh, if you think you can check. They sit in between chairs because the church is almost finished. So if you don't have a vision, it will not just happen. You see, people don't just get up and they want to be in church. We must stop deceiving ourselves. People don't just get up and they say, we want to come to church. There has to be God, the people, effective structures in place, making them come in. And those are structures. So I'm trying to tell you that everything should have a vision. And once you have a vision for everything, you should be able to write. What are you supposed to write down that you're not writing? What's the target? What's the aim? What's the focus? Disciples, how many are they? How many are giving? How many are you still evangelizing to? How much do you want to save? How much do you want to give? How much do you want to spend on clothes and hair? How much do you want to? You see, if you don't put all these things in place, you'll just be going, they'll ask you, give us a stock of your life. And you might not be able to give a stock of your life. A student, that's serious. You should have a timetable of study. It helps put everything in structure. Because sometimes you are learning more subjects. I mean, you are learning more of a particular subject because you seem to like the subject. But there's also another subject that you have to pass. It's not about, it's always not about liking per se. I mean, we all went to school, so you get to realize that there are some courses you just want to stay and read them because they appeal to you. But it's not all about writing. and passing one and getting 98 and then getting 42 in the other. Somebody who got 50 in both would be promoted than somebody who has, 70 or 90 and then another figure. So there has to be a writing. Inculcate it in your life. It's going to help put your life in order. It's going to help put your life in order. It's going to help put your business in order. It's going to help put your days and the activities that you have in order. Do a lot of writing. Do a lot of just this. Have a schedule of writing of what your day is like. Okay, 8 hours I work this. Okay, what do you do with the rest? It has to be productive. If you don't write it down, you're not going to know. You're just going to wander around. Oh, I work for 9 hours. After that, I do this. After that, I do this. Mondays, my Mondays look like this. My Tuesdays look like this. My Wednesdays look like this. I can tell you how my days look like. I can tell you what time you are most likely to get me reading something. What times you are not most likely to get me reading. What times you are most likely to get me reading, praying. What times I'm not, you are most likely. What times you are most likely to get me sleeping. So do a lot of writing and organizing. Buy sticky notebook. Put it there. Pin it to your bed. Pin it to the wall. Pin it to something. Look at it. You see, some of your disciples, you need to write their names down. I was so touched when I met somebody and the person was showing me a little book that the person had of disciples' names, that the person was praying. I was so touched. Yes. I was touched. She had a book and there were names. This was now showing it to me. I was blessed. Anytime I'm praying, it comes to my mind. Yes. So you should have names of your disciples so that you can keep how much of their progress or how much progress they are making. Sometimes there are people you need to pray for. You need to write them separately somewhere. Prayer topics that you need to pray, because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to pray about. Sometimes when you're not in prayer yet, you need to write it down. So I'm going to encourage everyone. The amount to which you write and the amount to which you follow your writings, you can become very successful in the things that you do. So the Lord is speaking to Habakkuk. He's saying that write it down. Write a vision. Write it down. Anyone that sees the vision will run with it. Anyone that sees it will run with it. Anyone that sees it, anyone that reads it, the person is going to run with the vision. So as you read it, it's going to be clearer and clearer. So, I'm going to leave you now, and everybody will start putting this into their life one way or the other. Learn to write. Get books, write. Get nice small notepads, write. Sometimes you write and you forget that you write, and then you remember that it has to be written. Go back and continue the writing. It's all part of the growth. Because some of you are not used to it. So you have to add it gradually. But you forget, it's like your life is without writing. You remember that, no, there are things that you, then you go back to it again, you continue with it. your disciples, the hostels you are going to, the name of the person you spoke to, the room number, the telephone number. People that you need to follow up back on. Their names are there. Their telephone numbers are there. Maybe you're about having a very hectic week. You sure could plan ahead of the week. On a Saturday evening, Sunday evening, you sit down Monday in the morning, 8 to this. You write it there. You'll be here at work. Immediately after this, by this time, you'll be at home. This time to this time, you'll rest. By this time, you should be reading, studying, praying, following up, calling, checking up on your disciples. It's very important. Oh, Tuesday, you won't go to work. So Tuesday in the morning, you should be up by this time. This time to that time is dedicated to this. So as you do that, your life is going to take some order rather than disorder. It's going to take some order rather than disorder. You say, I take this salary of 22,000. 50,000. I want to save 10,000. I want to have 12,000 here. I want to have that 1,000 here. Do this, do that, do this. So you need to write. Write. Sometimes you need to write in your book, Mark, avoid Pamela. Avoid, avoid. So whenever you pick it, you know that that's an avoiding person. So you have to avoid the person. Avoid. Whenever you pick it, it's like it's clean. And your life is going to take some order. So I'm just encouraging all of us. Let's be writing people. Let's write the vision. Let's be serious people. Oh. We just have one life. If Jesus doesn't come very soon, 100 years is not too far away, that much. And do not let any, see, one of the things that people get, you know, irritated with and intimidated with is when people think they are too serious. Yeah, I wish I was too serious in my life, because I've seen that only serious people make an impact. Yeah, it's like prayer, you take it serious. Church, you take it serious. Your life, you take it serious. Your principle with your time, you take this serious. Don't let any person blackmail you into believing that you are a too serious person. I'm telling you, me, if I had, I would have been extra serious than God. Yes, if I had. Yes. You take everything too seriously. You are always too active and too focused. As in, won't you play small? The reason we don't have time to play. And you are taking discipleship too serious. Then that's why your discipleships are growing. Yes, if you take it seriously, it will grow. If you take it like seriously, you take it serious, you approach it with it, it will go. When you take it like you don't care, you don't, it's like you don't really matter, it's nothing to you, it's just something you are doing to pass by. How will it become serious? That's why those who are able to go frequently for evangelism and follow-ups, their discipleships are responding. Imagine if somebody met you only on a Saturday. Only Saturday. Saturday to just for 20 minutes. What impact are you going to have in the life of the person that you meet only on a Saturday for 30 minutes or 25 minutes? You don't even call, you don't follow up the person. You don't do anything. But you are saying I'm more man. More power.
More man. Glory. More man. Glory.
More comes with some more. So don't let anybody tell you that you are too serious. It's not doesn't make any sense. But you are too serious. Take things too seriously. Take it seriously. In your school work, take it seriously. Housework, take it seriously. When we are all playing, we are all playing. So now when we are serious, then you are playing. Learn to take things very seriously. There's an atmosphere for play. There's an atmosphere for work. We must not confuse the two with each other. You shouldn't be playing when you're supposed to be working. You shouldn't be working when you're supposed to be playing. And those of you who are given responsibilities to handle, and then you are playing with it. And I've been telling you people, attach urgency to whatever it is that you do. Attach urgency. When we get to a place, attach urgency. Be quick, attach urgency. When you are sent to do something, attach a sense of urgency. Like, it has to be done. I've been told to do it. I'm going to do it. At your workplace, attach urgency. That's why people are going to be getting promotions. Yes, because promotions on a very uncorrupt, in a very uncorrupt space, is for people who are urgent. They take things seriously. Assignments you give them, they would be able to complete the assignment. When you give them an exercise, they'll be able to complete the exercise. At the right time, they'll be there. It's not that we give you something to do and then we check up, you're not doing it. So you're going to attach urgency to your life. Urgency is not being in a hurry. It's treating things that need to be done now as done now. Let's do it now. When your status, you make people laugh. Are you a comedian? Are you a comedian? You make people laugh, son. That's for you, Dr. Likey. That's your specialty. Dr. Likey. And what do you call it? Lil Wayne. That's what you like. Your status is always full of useless things. You don't have anything to do, You don't have anything to do. You are just pissed and people be you just pissed and then people be laughing. And then you are just happy. Any meme or something that's just funny, you just pissed it and everybody go. It's like your status, we only see very, very silly things. You say, don't take our status seriously now. You are the one serious in life. We don't care. Who cares about what you are sharing? You are the one not serious. We are the one serious in life. You are saying we are the ones not serious. These are only the serious ones. And we like it. every meme that is useless things. That's what they just share. That's what you are writing on your vision, on your step. That's your vision. You might as well just contact Mr. Bean, and let him employ you so that you can be making people laugh. Just make people happy. The happiness is not even lasting, because after they watch your status in 2 seconds time, they are depressed again. So you are not really doing any work. If you are even preaching joy, then now we can say, okay, you are teaching them for something that is everlasting. This one doesn't make any sense. You're just making them laugh shortly. Begin to be a serious person. Begin to be serious. When we are playing, we are all playing. Yes, when we are playing, we are all playing. Me, I don't like people that when I was telling someone that, don't be playing when I'm serious. As I told the person, don't be smiling when you see me. I'm not smiling. Why are you smiling? Huh? No, I'm not smiling. Why are you smiling? You know, I'm smiling and I'm laughing and I'm doing that. You can be smiling. Why are you seeing me talking to you seriously and you are smiling? What is that supposed to mean? That means you don't take me seriously. Well, let's be serious. Our discipleship will grow when we are serious. We're going to do well when we are serious. When we take things seriously. Yes. That's how we're going to do well. We take life seriously. Don't let anybody tell you that you're taking life too seriously. In 20 years' time, you exchange contacts again. So, write the vision down. Write it down. So that anybody who reads it will begin to run with it. As you read it as well, you will also begin to run with it. So God is going to help you in Jesus' name to listen to what I'm telling you. And take it very, very, very seriously. And take it seriously. Approach life and the things given you with a sense of urgency. Be serious about it. When we see you, we should see a serious person. Then when it's time for jokes, we should see another lively person. And then we are confused. Are you lively or you are serious? That is somebody who knows how to play on a very balanced scale. So, we are going to be serious. Take life seriously. Take the ministry seriously. Take church seriously. Approach everything with a sense of seriousness. And I believe that we are going to do very well as we have this as a mind. Everybody should be serious. Let's all be serious. Me, I'm serious. So you don't know. You don't see that I'm serious. If I was not serious, we would not do some things. So let's all be serious. In the ministry, let's be serious. When we say we are doing something, let's go for it. We are fighting for something. Let's push. Serious. So we are going to take things seriously. Seriously. Yes. Very hard people. When we are playing, we are all playing. When we are serious, we are all serious. Serious life. Don't have time for a lot of time wasters and people who don't have need for their time. They like to gossip. They like to talk about this person. They have to go and use that time to sleep. Let's be serious. Father in Jesus' name, thank you for serious people who will learn to write and take account and stock of their lives. And I pray that we all are catching this vision.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking things a lot more seriously. A lot more seriously. Father, we thank you for everyone in this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.